This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
A lot's happening on the national scene. Always great to have my next guest on. His name is Peter King, the congressman serving his 14th term in the U.S. House of Representatives. Member of the Homeland Security Committee and chairman of the Subcommittee on Counterterrorism and Intelligence. Always a pleasure. One of our favorite guests, of course. The aforementioned Peter King. Congressman, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Jay. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I believe, were you term limited as far as the committee is concerned on Homeland Security, or did I read that wrong?
No, I was term limited as far as my subcommittee, so I'm now the chairman on emergency preparedness. I was counterterrorism intelligence for 6 years. Now it's the, actually I'm not chairman, I'm ranking member because we're in the minority. I'm the ranking member of the emergency preparedness subcommittee, which is also essential for the New York, Long Island area. That's what that's the subcommittee that deals with the counterterrorism aid, the technology, the funding, everything as far as training for police, giving the most sophisticated equipment. And so that's still a very, you know, very key subcommittee.
Excellent. As long as your presence is still there, you are vital, in my opinion. I kind of question that whole term limit deal because of the experience and everything else that you bring to the table there, but at least you are part of the mix there, so I think it's vital that you stay in that mix.
Yeah, interesting. Republicans have term limits. Democrats don't. So Betty Thompson is now the chairman of the full committee. He's been chairman or ranking member for the Democrats since 2005. So this is his, I guess, 15th year as the top Democrat on the committee. We don't allow anyone to go more than 6 years.
Interesting. You know what? I was just telling a little bit of a story to the audience, Congressman, before you came on, regarding the state of Virginia. That is just unreal what's happening there with the governor, the lieutenant governor. You throw in the attorney general of the state. I mean, my goodness, if you are Kirk Cox, the GOP speaker of the Virginia House of Delegates, you could be in line for another job here, maybe taking over the reins here as far as the governor. I mean, that is an incredible slew of events, what's going on there.
It really is unprecedented. And again, you know, we don't know what's factual and what's not. But, I mean, certainly as far as the two blackface situations, they seem to be very definite. And as far as the sexual assault, you know, to me it's just such a different standard that the media has had toward the lieutenant governor in Virginia. And they did it with Brett Kavanaugh. So, again, it really is, in many ways, a tragic set of circumstances. I mean, you have the, three highest elected officials of the state, and this whole cascading of one to the other to the other. It's almost, you don't know what's going to happen next. So, you know, whatever problems we have in New York, at least we're not at that level.
Good point, you know, the whole Kavanaugh deal. And, you know, I'll tell you one thing. You even look ahead here, the ramifications, Congressman King. You know, listen, Democrats there had spent a long time trying to turn the state more solidly blue, and who knows what will happen in the future. GOP will kind of use this maybe to chip away at the gains. I mean, when you think about it, as far as future elections there.
Yeah, and especially when people start to look back. For instance, you take Ed Gillespie, who's a friend of mine. He ran for governor in Virginia in 2017, and Virginia has a real MS-13 situation, in many ways, almost similar to Long Island, what we have. And Ed Gillespie was very anti-MS-13, calling for tough measures. The Democrat TV ads turned that into a racist issue, and they had people with Confederate flags, supposedly, you know, the Gillespie supporters. They said if you were against MS-13, this is really code words for being a racist. And ironically enough, the governor turns out to be the one who was the racist, not Gillespie.
Yeah, no question. Congressman Peter King with us. You know, I don't know who looked more uncomfortable on Tuesday evening, Congressman King, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi. You know, I tell you, every time they panned on Chuck, he slumped lower and lower in the seat. I mean, there was a point, I don't think you would only see the Schumer head at one time, but I got to tell you, that was that was some optic right there. I thought it was a pretty good speech by the president. I really did.
Yeah, I thought it was. And for what how Chuck was sitting, I was in the hall, so I couldn't see Chuck Schumer. I didn't see the television, but I had a direct look at Nancy Pelosi. And she looked like she didn't know what to do. I mean, her face was like she's afraid to open her mouth. She's afraid to smile, afraid to really almost move at all. It was really interesting to watch. And again, there's so many things that she could have applauded for but didn't. To me, it's childish that you can't applaud on things where obviously you should be agreeing with the president, but because he's Donald Trump, they can't do it. Overall, I thought the president gave a very good speech. It's obvious he enjoys being on stage. The more the speech went along, the more comfortable he got. I thought that he was, I spoke to him briefly afterwards. He was really on a high. He thought he had done a good job. And again, he is a performer. And when you know the money's on the line, he comes across. He's not really ever missed out on one of these big speeches. He's never really dropped the ball at all.
He did a really good job, I thought. Well done. I'm still trying to figure out what Nancy Pelosi was looking at. It looked like dinner menus. Maybe she was trying to, order something from column A, column B. I don't know, after the address. But that was kind of an odd optic as well. But, I thought the president did a great job in the testimonial aspect of the evening, Congressman King. Especially, I thought, when he pointed out the Nevada couple that were killed by an illegal alien. Tough deal it was. A great-granddaughter there. Other family members. I thought that accentuated a very well-needed point.
Yeah, it showed the human tragedy that can occur when you have people in the country illegally. And also, though, I thought with the whole array of guests that he had, it showed the greatness of America. The generational greatness, really, from the 90-year-old people from World War II. To the escapees from Dachau and Auschwitz, and then to have the 10-year-old girl who underwent brain cancer treatment. It just showed the whole array from one end of the spectrum to the other about the true greatness that America has.
I thought the only faux pas was the insertion of the investigation, how it would impede the progress of where the country is going. The Bob Mueller investigation, obviously, we're talking about here. And, listen, Mueller is doing his thing. When will it end? We don't know. But quite frankly, maybe that should have been left out. And, of course, now you have the House Intelligence Committee Chairman and Adam Schiff announcing a sweeping new look into the finances of Donald Trump. And pretty much Schiff saying yesterday the probe to go beyond Russia into whether the financial interests of the president are driving his actions, whether any foreign interests have any leverage over the president and his family. But give me your take on the comment during the address, and give me a little bit of the Adam Schiff deal.
Yeah, first of all, I think what the president was referring to is not so much Mueller, even though I guess what he could have said is the Mueller investigation, they should try not to carry it on any longer than they have to. Which it does, no matter who the president is, that kind of an investigation hanging over the president weakens him as far as dealing with foreign leaders, that's number one. As far as the congressional investigations, they are the ones that I think are going to get out of control. Congress has the right to do it, but it's a right that you shouldn't abuse. And, Adam Schiff, going back 2 years ago, was talking about collusion with Russia. I was on the Intelligence Committee the last 2 years with Adam Schiff. We got absolutely no evidence at all of any collusion whatsoever. So now Adam Schiff is saying, well, we're going to go for collusion. Now we're going to investigate all of Donald Trump's finances. And this is a bit attenuated because I guess the way he ties that to intelligence is by saying somehow if you can show that Donald Trump owed money to a foreign power or a foreign government or a foreign entity, that would influence his conduct as president. If there's any evidence that he did have any of this. But again, Adam, to me, he just wants to keep this going. He actually had always been a pretty mild-mannered person until the whole Russian investigation came along 2 years ago, and then he really became a changed person, which is, to me, it's unfortunate. Listen, if there's something there, fine, but this has been going on not just for 2 years, but 2.5 years. The FBI investigation began in either August or September of 2016, And now we're in 2019, and there's nothing at all that's come out on collusion. You have people like Paul Manafort being indicted or convicted for something they did back in 2005, which had nothing to do with Donald Trump at all. You have Michael Cohen for Medallion Taxis, not paying taxes on the taxi medallions. I mean, this is, again, going far afield. And if it's going to go on for the next 2 years, it's going to just, again, tie down the presidency, tie down the Congress, and it appears to be going nowhere.
Again, though, the list continues to grow. I mean, it's a casting list out of Ocean's 11. I mean, it just seems like Bob Mueller is picking his spots here. And indeed, we can kind of decipher now that there was interference as far as Russia into the 2016 elections.
Again, it's going to go on. Mueller's investigation is winding down. I mean, I guess we've been saying that now for 6 months. But all the indicators I'm getting is that it is in the final stages. I don't think you're going to find anything about collusion at all. There's always possible something is there. But based on what we've seen for the last 2.5 years, there isn't. As far as the others, with Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler, you can carry these investigations on forever. For instance, yesterday they made a big thing out of saying they're going to turn transcripts over to the special counsel. Well, when the Republicans were in charge of the committee, we made everything. We said all along, whatever the special counsel wants, they can have. Nobody was holding that back. We also voted last year to make all the testimony public. That can't be done, though, until the director of national intelligence signs off on it. So all Adam Schiff was doing is reaffirming what the Republicans had done a year ago.
Pretty much so. Congressman Peter King. Well, just getting back to the whole immigration content of the address from the other night. I mean, obviously, the wall, the money, and who knows, maybe another shutdown. Do you see, Congressman King, on the 15th of February, a compromise of some sort in which a second shutdown could be averted here?
Yeah, well, you know, the information I have is secondhand, which is, it's good to have it secondhand because that means a lot is not being leaked out from this group. I guess it's 19 members in the House and Senate who are negotiating right now. I'm hearing that they may be able to announce tomorrow a bipartisan agreement. What it's going to entail, I don't know. It could be a matter of definition. We're not going to have a wall, but we are going to have a fence and infrastructure, which would be the same as a wall. But again, you would have the more judges from the immigration courts. That's what I'm hearing. But again, this could be, it's pretty accurate, I think. It's accurate as of now, I think. A lot can happen between now and tomorrow. And that's one of the problems we have, too. When something does get leaked out, then that goes to the bases on both sides. And they start with the emails and the phone calls and going on social media saying how this is the worst deal that's ever going to happen in the history of the world. And it causes then the people who were involved in the deal say it never existed in the first place. I saw that back in 2011 with President Obama and John Boehner. They had reached an agreement on deficit reduction, but before they could announce it, it was leaked to the social media. Wasn't as big then as it is now, but social media and to the talk show hosts on both sides. Both sides attacked it, and by the end of the day, Boehner and Obama both denied there was ever a deal.
Interesting. So we'll keep an eye on that for tomorrow. And of course, you know, listen, a second shutdown, I just couldn't see that happening again. We'll see, though. You know, after what we saw at the airports and everything else, that's when you go over the line. And I think they realize, listen, we can't afford to even take a chance as far as something like that occurring again. So I think they're going to go all out. I'm hoping you're right. You know, I'm hoping. Let's see as far as what could come out of this.
I was against the shutdown. First shutdown, I'd be against another one. It's a wrong tactic to use, that if you don't get something you want, you shut the government down, because we can be applying this to every key issue that comes along. I had a group contact me saying if we don't get the SALT deduction reinstated within the next few weeks, I should vote to shut the government down. Well, there's any number of issues that are important to different parts of the country. You can't shut down the government when you don't get what you don't get what you want.
Yeah, no question. Congressman King with us. You know, it's interesting. I'm pretty good at body language in really watching Nancy Pelosi, especially when the president declared 3,750 troops down to the southern border. And, you know, a little bit of negativity in her face. And does anyone not realize the problem that is ongoing down at the border? I mean, with not only with the people who shouldn't be here, who have nothing in mind but to create mayhem and havoc. And quite frankly, we have a problem with gangs. We have a problem with drugs. We have a problem with human trafficking. It's hard to believe that, and again, I've always felt this, that the disdain for the individual itself is what's at stake here. It's not necessarily the wall and everything. It's about, you know, just the relationship itself between Democrats and Republicans, especially Schumer, Pelosi versus Trump.
Interesting. The Democrats, until a few years ago, did realize and did acknowledge the serious situation at the border. Now, because Donald Trump has taken such a strong position on it, they seem to be locked in against it, just mainly for that reason. Listen, a wall is one thing that has to be done. There's any number of things have to be done. A wall is potential for that. And it is dangerous when you have people coming across your border. You don't know who they are. And that's the whole idea of having vets. You're going to let people into the country, give them the privilege of living in the United States of America, that we should know who they are and what's in their background. And that's really what, you know, what this is all about. No one's trying to stop immigration. The idea is we have to limit on immigration, and we have to know who's coming in. That's the way it's been done in the past. That's the way it should be done. And the Democrats, I think they've made this a political issue years against Donald Trump. They felt it worked for him politically in the last election. So now they want to not agree with him, just resist everything he's doing. I think it's going to hurt them. And it's, for Nancy Pelosi to say a wall is immoral, well, is she going to tear down all the walls that already exist along the southern border? For instance, San Diego, the wall was extremely effective in San Diego. Is she going to tear that wall down? I mean, this is, or tear down 130 miles that were built under Barack Obama. It's that type of extremism that I think is going to backfire on the Democrats.
Meanwhile, you and I have spoken before regarding the Unaccompanied Minors Act. You know, we want to see that cemented. We know about MS-13 and everything else. We have to have that in full form as far as I'm concerned. You can talk about all the stuff with immigration, Unaccompanied Minors Act. You know as well as I do, Congressman, very important stuff there.
They really are. Unaccompanied Minors, you know, this is one that Americans saw the tragedy of young people coming across the border and being trapped in the desert and everything. Well, the fact is, much of this was contrived. These were kids who were, in a number of instances, sent across the border to become, a number of them became MS-13 operatives. Some were when they came across the border. Recent indictments in Suffolk County for murders, I think 7 out of the 11 or 9 out of the 13 were involved in these horrible murders and brutality over the last several years. They were young people who came across as unaccompanied minors. The unaccompanied minors is a real issue, and then it becomes a financial issue because they get placed in school districts around the country. And here in Long Island, many of them are placed in centralized the Brentwood School District, but no federal money comes with those kids. So now you have a school has to, as kids who are behind in their education, don't speak any English. We don't know what's even in their health background. Suddenly the school has to make special provisions for them. So you may have a 13-year-old kid sitting in the third grade. And again, also, you do know a number of them could well be MS-13 operatives. So this is it's an issue which I think people have this false compassion that if we're nice to everybody, things are going to work out. Well, in this case, being nice to these kids coming across the border and doing it in an indiscriminate way resulted in murder and death.
No question. And by the way, one other thing on the whole immigration thing, it's interesting when the president, spoke of the testimonial, the family members of the 80-year-old couple were killed in Nevada by an illegal alien. The camera did pan on Senator, I forgot her name for a second. Oh yes, Gillibrand. By the way, she is running for president, I do believe. But Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who, as you know as well as I do, made it very vocal in the last couple of months during her electoral campaign that the abolishment of ICE should be in place. Interesting how the camera kind of panned on her at that moment in time.
You know, one of the most irresponsible issues that's come up is this abolishing ICE. ICE does a phenomenal job. When you talk to the local law enforcement officials who work with ICE, they say ICE is absolutely indispensable. They provide the that extra element that's needed. They've saved so many lives on Long Island, for instance. The work they do is just terrific. And anyone, it's just the height of irresponsibility to say that I should be abolished. I should be praised. They should be commended and thanked for the job they do saving American lives.
Yeah, no question. Congressman Peter King, a couple of minutes. You know, it looks like we have the dates now, February 27th and 28th in Vietnam, Congressman King, Summit 2 with Kim Jong-un. First of all, your reaction to the comment the other night that if Donald Trump were not in place as the president, it would be a war with North Korea. And also, what do you expect out of this second summit?
I think, first of all, I think the president exaggerated that a bit. Listen, we could have had a war with North Korea. President Obama, when he met with President-elect Trump in November of 2016, he warned him that the biggest crisis you will have is going to involve North Korea. So it was at a crisis point. Whether or not it would have gone to war or not, I don't know. But it certainly was a real crisis. That crisis has been calmed down. That thing has, again, slowed down. And I give the president credit for that.
No question. You know, listen, we'll see what happens.
Believe how it is rationale, yeah. You know, for even existing. So the president doesn't get too carried away here and doesn't give too much to Kim Jong-un. I think we still have to carry out maneuvers in South Korea, working closely with the South Korean military.
Congressman, before we let you go, I always like to hit you with a baseball question. Pitchers and catchers. Coming up in about a week right. or so, and it's hard to believe. You know, listen, the Mets have a nice little team. Give me your assessment so far, and give me a prediction as far as wins for your team in Queens. Go ahead.
Okay, they will be much better than last year. Whether or not they're as good as the Phillies or Braves, I don't know. I say if the Mets stay healthy, they win 91 games and they make the playoffs.
91 and the playoffs. Excellent. Is that with or without Bryce Harper, by the way?
Without Bryce Harper. With Bryce Harper, make it 98
and 99. Okay, we'll hold you to it. We're going to write that down. Congressman, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And
good talking to you.
Always good talking with you. We'll talk to you soon. Very good.
Great.